Okay, it's an incredible tzchus to be together. Erev Shabbos Kodesh, to learn together, to grow together. First of all, before anything else, just want to thank and say that tonight's shiur is being sponsored jointly by the Green and Aronoff family. Leila Nishmas, Gabriella and Ayelet's great-grandmother, Mrs. Lisa Messenger, Leah Bas Uri, Ove Shalom. Her yurtzeit was a few weeks ago. It was on Yom Yishalayim, Chav Chasir. And we discussed doing a shiur, and we had tentatively planned to actually do a shiur mamash on the yurtzeit. A few weeks before the yurtzeit, we planned that. And then, Rabos Machshavos Blavish, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a lot of... We have a lot of plans, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu has his ways and his desires, and the day that we were supposed to do the shiur was the day that my wife had her surgery, and obviously we didn't have shiur that night, so... But l'maisa Baruch Hashem, you know, we're here, and we're back together, and Mirat Hashem, all the Torah, all the Chizik, all the Zairus, should be a big schus for Leah, Basuri, Vashalom, and it should be a schus for the beautiful family, it should be a Yoshua for your beautiful families, and we should be zayicha to only simcha and bracha, be taunting with her as Bias Mashiach, with the Gula Shlema, the Meher of Yemeno. I have a few families that I feel very close to myself, so it feels like my family. So Mirat Hashem will be a big schus for Neshama. And the Chevra knows that this shiur, the shiur that we get together every other week, it's been every other week for many years already with the Nashim Tzidkaniyos. So on a personal level, it's something very, very special. It's very special because this shiur is not on any level, you know, connected to any organization or any institution. It's really just Nashim Tzidkaniyos, young women who want to grow and are looking to grow and are taking time out of their busy schedules. And I know times that are sometimes very inconvenient, late nights, right after Shabbos, preparing for Shabbos, whatever it might be, but saying that we want to stay connected to Torah, want to stay connected to Ruchnius, want to grow. And on a personal level, I gained so much chizik from that, so much chesoris, just by coming together. And most probably, tonight's the last shiur for a while, for the summer. I mean, those of us who will be in Camp Pasch together, I hope to be there once a week, and maybe some other places the shiurim will come up, but as far as Bikvius, you know, everybody's all over the place, unless if there's chevra that's around, we can make it happen. I know that over the summer we're in all different places, and in the past it just hasn't worked out. If there's enough of a chevra that's here, maybe we can make it happen every few weeks, we'll figure it out, but we'll have to discuss, we'll have to see. But I've always hoped that these shiurim, even though it's only once a week, once every 2 weeks really, our shiurim, our Torah, our chizik, that hopefully lifts us all up together and keeps us in the right frame of mind, the right mindset, and the type of Torah and chizik and zoras that we constantly could think back towards and connect to. So if this happens to be perhaps the last year that we have for a while, so hopefully tonight's Torah has to be even much more so a light that could keep us connected, that could keep us on fire, connected to the Rabbon Shalom in a very deep way. And I heard a very beautiful mashal from a Talmud of mine a few nights ago at a DRS graduation. He was speaking, Mordechai Shrek, he was a valedictorian, he was giving his valedictorian address. And he said over a mashal, it was a very beautiful mashal. I'm thinking to myself as I'm listening to this mashal, it's very similar but different to a mashal in the Mesillas Yesharim. I reached out to him that night to ask him, and he kind of took that mashal in the Yesharim like I thought, but he altered it in the way that he did, in a very beautiful way. I'm not going to give over his speech, but he gave a mashal. He says, imagine an individual is going through a maze, one of these corn mazes. And those corn mazes, we know, maybe you've been at some point, you could have this dead end and that dead end. You're trying to make your way through and you don't know where you're going. And then somebody comes, imagine, obviously, this is just a mashal, and plucks you out of the maze, and lifts you up high in the sky, and gives you a bird's eye view of the entire maze. And you see from on top, and you see, and you can tell now where exactly the way to get out is in the proper direction, the proper path. But then moments later, drops you back into the maze. So now you're back in that moment of confusion. You're back into that dark place. You're back into the place which lacks clarity. But you had that moment of clarity. You had that light. You were lifted up for moments. And it wasn't just for that moment, because then you're able, hopefully, if you understood what that moment was, and you grabbed onto that moment, and embodied that moment, and internalized that moment, you could reach back to it. And you could close your eyes and remember it. And in those moments of confusion, and when you're working your way out, you go back to that time when you were lifted up, and you remember. And it keeps you in the place you're supposed to be. And helps you keep on that proper path, the way we always want to be. So I'm hoping, and davening, as Hashem, I'm sure every single one of you have plans of beautiful summers, and summers of growth, and summers full of kirvas elokim. But hopefully, if this is the last time we have shir before the summer, and for some of us might be for a while, so hopefully tonight will be that light, and a light that we could tap back into, and keep with us on fire, to see the proper path, and the way that I'm supposed to be. Bez Hashem Yisbarach. So you know, this Shabbos, we're going to already be Mavarach and Chodesh Tammuz. That alone is a little bit scary. You know, the summer might be exciting. On some level, a lot of us, the summer is a little more chilled, a little more relaxed, a little less pressure. But then we hear Tammuz, and if you're in shul, you have Mavarach and Chodesh Tammuz. Tammuz right away, we think about the 3 weeks, and the 9 days, and Beit HaMitzarim, and Tisha B'Av. We're not there yet, and we hope in the schus that we talk about this, we won't have to be there in those times. And in the middle of Tammuz is Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. Tammuz doesn't have with it any yontiv that we're looking forward to. You know, a lot of times when we're Mavarach and Chodesh and it's a new month, so it's Kislev, we know Chanukah is on its way, and it's Adar, we know Purim's on its way. And it's Nisan, and we know that Pesach's on its way. And it's Tammuz, Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. Not so exciting. So I want to share with you, just to start, a very, very deep Torah. But something very beautiful. Hopefully it'll be the schus of this Torah to be nepach, to turn around the month of Tammuz once and for all. So it's brought down in Sefer Kabbalah that we know there's a Shem Hashem Adnus, Aleph Dalad Nun Yud, right? That's how we pronounce Shem Havaya, Yud Kei Vav Kei, Baruch Hashem, and we say Ado, right? Aleph Dalad Nun Yud, Master of the World. Adon HaKol. So now every letter, we've spoken about this before, some might know, but we'll explain. Every letter is not just a letter, but has a miloy, right? So, for example, a miloy of the letter, the filler of the letter, is how we pronounce the letter, how we verbalize the letter. So Aleph is not just Aleph the way we see Aleph, but is really Aleph Lamed Pei, because that's how you pronounce Aleph. And Beis is really Beis Yud Tav. And Gimel is really Gimel Mem Lamed, right? Because that's how we pronounce it. It's really all those letters. We have to write out the letter. That's how we'd write it out. So if you take Hashem's name, Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud, has four letters, and each of those letters has three letters to their miloy, right? So Aleph, Dalet, Aleph is Aleph, Lamed, Pei, and Dalet is Dalet, Lamed, Tav, and Nun is Nun, Vav, Nun, and Yud is Yud, Vav, Dalet, right? They all have three letters, and that would be writing out Aleph Dalet Nun Yud with its complete miloy. Now the Sfarim bring down, the Arizal bring down, the Sasser talks about this at length, that those letters will be 12 letters altogether, right? Because you have four letters with three letters each, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, Aleph Lamed, basically Aleph Lamed Pei, Dalet Lamed Tav, Nun Vav Nun Yud Vav. If I had a board, it would be a lot easier. But hopefully you could envision all this. And each of those letters is connected a month of the year. Obviously this is very deep, but you'll see, we'll get somewhere that we can understand. So if we start with Nisan as the beginning of the year, Nisan would be Aleph, Iyar would be Lamed, Sivan would be Pei, that's Aleph. Tammuz would be Dalid, because now we're up to the next letter. And Av is Lamed, right? Because Dalid, Lamed, Tav of the Dalid. We're good? Yeah? So Tammuz Av, which are these very difficult months of the year that represent the summer for the Jewish nation. Even though the summer, oh, it's exciting, it's beautiful, it's wonderful, it's nice weather, it's also Tammuz and Av. Shivas v'Tammuz. Bein HaMetzarim. The 9 days, Tisha B'Av, right? So what do those months represent in the shame in the name of Hashem? The Dalet and the Lamed. Which makes a lot of sense on the surface. Because what does Dalet Lamed spell for us? Dol. You know what Dol means normally? Lowly, impoverished. Dol is like what it means in English, actually, on some level. They're seemingly somewhat connected, perhaps. Dol, Dal Lamed, is something that's very low, is very poor, is impoverished. Because those are these months. Very sad months. But the B'nai Yisachar says something so beautiful. He says, that's not the way we must look at it. Especially at this point. Especially as we're just Mavarach and Chodesh Tammuz. And we're still 2.5 weeks, even by Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, 2.5 weeks before Shavuos Tammuz. And we're not there yet. And we still have within our ability to be Nepach, to turn this all around. And that this summer should be the summer of Gula. This summer should be a summer only of Simcha. And nothing difficult. For each and every one of us. So this is a pasuk in Tehillim. In Perek Lamed. Very famous pasuk, I'm sure you know. Aromimcha Hashem ki dilisani. Aromimcha Hashem ki dilisani. Aromimcha Hashem. Hashem, you are lofty, you are high. I lift you up, kidili sunny, and you know how you translate that, looking in the art school anywhere, kidili sunny, because you lift me up. A pail is dala, in Aramaic, is also dull, because the pail goes down into the ground to pull out the water, but so that you lift up that water. Sometimes that lowest place, we're there so that we could be lifted up. Nachman talks about this all the time, that in the lowest place that you are, that's the most potential for growth. So therefore, dilisani, yes, it means very lowly, but it also means to be lifted up. Because you, from that low place, you can be lifted up. Aromim chasham ki dilisani, that same word, dilisani, you lift me up, Rabboni Shalom. So maybe, Bezaz Hashem, and this is what the Bnei Yisachar says, that each and every one of us, we should look at it. That it's true, the letters of Tammuz and Av, the letters of this summer, is dull, which naturally, normally, on the surface, seems to be very lowly, but not this year. This year it's going to be, we're going to lift it up. It's going to be dull in a way, and it's up to each and every one of us, by lifting ourselves up. And Emirat Hashem, it will be. And it's going to be an incredible summer. And what's going to be the foundation of that? What's going to be the foundation of that? So I want to share a very important idea. In this Shabbos, which in some level is the beginning of the summer for us, Parsha Shlach, we all know, is the Meraglim. The Chet Meraglim. And on some level, the Chet Meraglim is deeply connected to these days, the summer months, the difficulty of Bein HaMetzarim and Tisha B'Av. As there's a famous Medrash, it's a Gemara in Sota, and I'll read it to you, on the words in this week's Parsha, Batisa kola eda ve'idnu es kolam ba'yivku. The Klal Yisrael, when they heard about the testimony of the Meraglim, they lifted their voices and they cried. Rabbi Yochanan says, Osa yom erev Tisha B'Av hayu. That was as we led into the day of Tisha B'Av. That's when it was. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu said on that day, on that Tisha B'Av, Hein bachu b'chiyah shel chinam, they're crying tears of naught. They had no reason to cry. They should not have been crying. They should have been going into Eretz Yisrael and conquering Eretz Yisrael. V'ani ekbal am b'chiyah l'doros. I am going to set aside this time and make a permanent time of crying. In other words, it seems to be on some level, and we're not going to get into it deeply tonight, but that the Chet Meraglim was the impetus, was the foundation of Tisha B'Av, of all the tragedies of all of Klal Yisrael. But listen to this. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us that. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Klal Yisrael that you're not going to enter Eretz Yisrael because of the Chet Meraglim, you're going to wander for another 40 years, you're going to all die out, It's not just that door. This was a gzeira for the history of the Jewish nation until you and I. We're suffering from Churban Beit HaMikdash, which somehow is connected to Cheder Meraglim. It's difficult to swallow. That's what we're going to read about as we enter into the summer. But listen to this. That's not what I want to talk about tonight. Right before Hashem gives us this gzeira, right before Hashem tells us that we're not going to enter Eretz Yisrael, and we're going to be wandering in the desert, and we're going to suffer because of that Cheder Meraglim. L'dari daros. There's a pasuk, and it's a very strange pasuk. Seems very out of place. It doesn't seem like the time is right. And Hashem says, right before in Perek Yudalet, Pasuk Chav Aleph, V'ulam chai ani, v'yimolei kvod Hashem es kol aretz. Hashem says, I am alive. Chai ani, v'yimolei kvod Hashem es kol aretz. And my honor will fill the entire world. What's he alluding to? That there will be a time where my honor fills the entire world. There's going to be a time of ultimate gula. Right now, right here, moments before he says, none of you are entering Eretz Yisrael, moments before that decree, the decree, L'dari Doros, B'chiyah Shachinam, will lead to B'chiyah of Churban Beis HaMikdash, B'chiyah L'Doros, Hashem says, and by the way, I'm alive, and I'm not going anywhere, and my honor is going to fill the entire world. Like, what's going on here? That doesn't seem like the right time. That doesn't seem like it makes any sense to be talking about that here and now. So, Chaver, listen to the words of the Tzfer Shlomo, Radomsky Rebbe. Listen to what he says. He says, exactly now when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us that they're going to be challenged, telling us that we're going to suffer, telling us that we're going to pay for our mistakes, and there's going to be galus, and there's going to be a long, very dark galus that we're still in today. At that very moment, right before, in this pasuk, V'ulam chai ani v'imolei kvod Hashem kol aretz, what is he saying? Nizburu miyad al gula v'ashua shal asu v'meir v'meinu. He's immediately, even before that, he's saying and letting us know, by the way, there's going to be an ultimate gula. There's going to be a time where there's going to be Yeshua. There's going to be salvation. Ki kvar kol ha-gulot v'yeshuot. All of the redemptions, all of the salvations, all of the healings, all of the shiduchim, everything is muchanim va'omdim, is prepared and it's ready, lizgalos b'mehera, to be revealed very, very quickly. Hashem is telling us in our parasha, right before He reveals to us Bein HaMetzarim, Tamas, of that's dull, the lowly part, the one we've been suffering from 2,000 years, He says, by the way, V'imolei kvod Hashem aretz. I'm alive and I'm going to fill the entire world. There's going to be Gula. There's going to be Yeshua. And it's going to happen as Hashem, B'mehera. You know all the people that we daven for that are sick? There's going to be a time where there's healing of all. There's going to be a time where there's all gula. There's going to be a time where there's shalom. There's going to be a time when we don't have to turn on the news and hear about another shooting in Eretz Yisrael. There's going to be a time. He tells us that right here, right now, when He's about to tell us about all the suffering. You know why? Because you know what He's really telling us? You know what He's really telling us? He's telling us what each and every one of us needs to know more than anything else in the world, and what we need to feel more than anything else in the world, and that we need to live with it more than anything else in the world, every single moment of our lives, and every moment this summer. And I know that many of you, some of you are looking around, some of you, I'm sure, I don't know, there's different chevers here from different times in life, and there's some chever that spent the whole entire year, this past year, sitting and learning in Eretz Yisrael, growing in Eretz Yisrael, living in Eretz Yisrael. And you come back, and I'm sure if you're back a day or two, you look around and you're like, oh my gosh, what am I doing here? And how am I going to last this summer? I'm going to really be able to last this summer without being able to just jump on a bus and get to the Kaisel, jump on the Chvesnish, the train and get to the Kaisel. I'm going to really do that? How am I going to do it? How am I going to live up to who I've become and who I want to be? And those of us that haven't been there, really, we've had a whole year, and often during the year, there's a lot more structure, and I'm maybe with with certain friends that help give me chizik and it's oris and different. And the summer has its challenges. Summer has its challenges when it comes as nashim tzikanios, its challenges when it comes to snias and what's going on in the world and family pushing us to be involved in things that maybe we don't want to be involved in necessarily. There's all different types of pressures and being pulled in all different types of directions. You know what we need to know more than anything else? More than anything else in the world. Hashem loves us. Hashem loves each and every one of us. And Hashem is by our side every moment. Every moment. Hashem loves you. And that's what he was really saying. You know what the Tzvar Shlomo is saying in this one pasuk? Right before, Hashem can't believe what just happened. Hashem took us down. Imagine, Hashem, what did he do? Hashem went and he brought 10 markers. And he split the sea. And he destroyed the mitzvah. And he's having mon come down from heaven. And he has a rock giving us water. And he's doing everything in the world for us. And he has a cloud protecting us from everything. And you know what? What is this all for? He gave us the Torah. He revealed himself to us. B'chvod v'atzmo. Did it all. All Hashem. All Hashem. And what's the ultimate goal from all of that? Finally, what's the final step in all of this gula? There's still a final step that hasn't come to fruition yet. And that's entering into our homeland, being in Yisrael, with our Beis HaMikdash, with our Abayis, not just being a nation of people with a Torah, but in the place we are supposed to be. And he says, go conquer. And we say, thanks, but no thanks. Imagine how he feels. Imagine at that moment. And we do, and we deserve to be punished, and we're going to be punished. And it's going to be L'dori Doris, Hashem says. But right before that, right before he gives us a patch, right before that, he says, "Ulam chayani, v'imolei kvod." What's it? V'imolei kvod Hashem es kol haaretz. He says, "I want you to know that I might have to punish you, and there might be times that are difficult, and there might be challenges along the road. And we all have our challenges. Every one of us has challenges in our personal life, in our home life, when it comes to parnasa, it comes to shiduchim, it comes to social life, it comes to pressures and finding ourselves in Yiddishkeit." And we're so many pulled in so many ways, and we all have our challenges. And Hashem says, but before all those challenges, you're going to have them, and they're going to help you grow, and you're going to persevere. But before it all, I want you to know the whole time, I love you. And there's going to be Yeshua, and there's going to be Geula. And I'm here by your side the whole time. That's what he's saying to us. And we have to know it. We have to believe it. And when you know Hashem loves you, and you know Hashem is by your side, and you know Hashem is watching over, and you know that He has the Geula and the Yeshua that's ready to come down, it gives me the strength to get through anything. It gives me the strength to get through anything. Without it, I don't know how anyone gets through anything. It's really that simple. You know, some of the chevra, I want to share a story, but some of the chevra heard the first part of the story. But the story is continued. So, chazar is never a bad thing. Some of us had this chus to be together, Shavuos night. Beautiful night of learning in Halba Elementary School for all the Nashim Tzikanios. It was very, very beautiful. And I shared a story. Maybe some that weren't there heard it in a recording. I shared it in a men's shir as well. Basically, for those of you who don't know, a month ago, actually today, 4 weeks ago today, my wife had open heart surgery. Had to have a valve replacement. She's recovering. She could still use the tefillos. She and the Rivka Vasileya, if everyone can daven. We're actually going to the surgeon tomorrow. It's a tough recovery. It's not easy. Baruch Hashem, everything's been great with her heart. But just, the healing process has been painful and hard. Baruch Hashem will get better. So the day of the surgery, the whole day is obviously like very surreal and very emotional. And basically, I'm not allowed to be with her in the surgery at all. And at like 10 o'clock in the morning, they basically tell me to say goodbye to her, and they're going to take her away on a stretcher. And obviously, it's the hardest thing in the world to say goodbye to your wife, who they're about to like literally open up and have whatever it is, I say goodbye and give her a bracha, give her birchas kohanim. We spoke a few words, some emotional words, and She went off to surgery and I went off to daven. So I'm not going to see her for many, many hours. They tell me, and I'm not going to hear it. They don't give you any updates. They don't tell you anything. So I'm not staying in the hospital because I really had no desire to be in the hospital the whole day. Not a really big fan of being in hospitals unless I have to be. But I also didn't want to, I couldn't go anywhere too far because if they needed me for something, whatever it might be. So it happens to be we were in Mount Sinai Hospital in the city, and it's directly across the street from Central Park. And I found this gorgeous garden in Central Park. Gorgeous. If you want a beautiful place to do a little boat distance, it's like Central Park in 102nd Street. It's like right by 5th Avenue in the park. There's this gorgeous garden. It's like some conservative. It's unbelievable. And I literally spent the entire day there from about 10:30 in the morning, what ended up being till about 7 o'clock at night. Literally, the whole day I just sat there on a bench by these gorgeous flowers and birds and with the Rabbeinu Shalom. It was really special. It was really, really special. Emotional. But it was a whole day of just davening, learning, and answering texts, literally, all day. And the day is going, and it's like, it's very, very long. And I figured by about 5 o'clock-ish, I'd hear something. It was already, you know, it's a 4 or 5 hour surgery. Okay, it takes about an hour to two to set up the surgery and everything, and a little time after. And they tell me the surgeon's going to call me when it's over. So you're not going to hear anything during. And about 5:30, 6 o'clock, I started to get a little bit impatient. That's the MS. You know, I'm like waiting already, and your mind starts wandering. Ah, Baruch Hashem, I complete Emunah B'Tachlis and everything was going to go well, but Mamash, you've envisioned your wife completely like cut open, and with her, I mean, and you're waiting, and a lot could go through your mind. And I started to get a little impatient, and I wouldn't say I was like ready to lose it, but Mamish, a minute later, listen, earlier in the day I was on the phone with my daughter, Neshama, and she told me when I'm sitting in this garden, she said, you got to look for a cardinal. Cardinal. I said, why do I have to look for a cardinal? What are you talking about? She said, no, mommy's bird is a cardinal, and if you see a cardinal, it means the Eibishter, it's good mazel, it's everything to be good. I'm like, okay, so if I see a cardinal, everything's going to be good. Yeah, see a cardinal. Okay. So all day long, I don't see a cardinal. I'm sitting there all day long. Once I thought I saw a cardinal, but it ended up being a robin. You know, you have the orange bottom, whatever. But it wasn't a cardinal. It happens to be, I found out later. I didn't know this at the time, but I happened to find out later that ever since my wife found out she had to have surgery, like 3 weeks prior, every single day she saw a cardinal. Every day. And she thought it was a siman from Hashem. The cardinal's red in the heart and it has like a heart shape a little. I don't know. Listen, Eibishter comes in a lot of different ways. And the moment, I'm telling you right now, the moment, within 30 seconds after I, for the first time, was impatient and feeling just like, I don't know, scared and whatever I wanted, whatever those emotions were at that moment, 30 seconds later, this gorgeous cardinal appears. And it flies right next to me and sits down. I can show you on my phone pictures. Mamet, I had to. And I just start crying and I knew, okay, it's all good. And it was about an hour later that I got a call from the surgeon and told me that the surgery was perfect as could be in every way. She herself was a very emotional phone call. But to me, that was the Eibishter. I mean, the Eibishter shows himself in different ways and shows his love to us in different ways. Sometimes we just have to open up our eyes a little bit wider. And then my wife was in the hospital for about 5 days, which were very challenging days. And we get out of the hospital and we're home and recovering. 2 weeks ago, tomorrow, we went back to meet with the surgeon. At that point, everything was going very smoothly and perfectly, and Bez Hashem will continue. And we meet with the surgeon just as a pre-op, and everything, it was perfect and great and wonderful. And we finish with the surgeon. I'm like, Shandy, you know, you got to see this garden. I have to take you to see this garden where I spent the day of the surgery. And it was a gorgeous day. Both days were gorgeous days, the day of the surgery, this Friday. And I'm taking her to this garden, and we walk into the garden. The moment we get into the garden, a gorgeous cardinal flies right by. And I told her the story already. And that's the first thing we see in this garden when I take her to the garden. And we didn't see another one. I didn't see another one that day. It was just the Eibishter's showing himself. That's what I deeply believe it. Let me tell you something. Two days ago, my wife was having a very hard day. I told you her sternum has been hurting tremendously. There's been a lot of pain. That's why we're going to the surgeon tomorrow. And my Hashem is going to be all good. But a lot of pain. And it was getting to her emotionally as well. I mean, she's already almost a month recovery, and it's been very hard. And she's having a very hard moment. And we were outside, we were walking into the house. We took a walk. She's supposed to walk every day, a couple times a day. It's good for her. Walking into the house, and she looks at me, and she has like tears coming down her cheeks. And she's like, and I didn't even see any cardinal today. And I said, Shane, let's sit down for 2 minutes. We have some chairs in the front lawn. I said, let's sit down, watch, you'll see. Trust me, it's all going to be good. Hashem loves you. And let's sit down, you'll see a cardinal. And we were outside for a long time. Okay. I'm telling you, within 20 seconds, this gorgeous cardinal flies by. Now, I don't know, you could say, just okay, some people could say it's all just, just chance, and there are cardinals outside. It's spring turning into summer, whatever you want to call it. But if that was what she was looking for, and it was pumped all these times of difficulty, the Eibishter time and time again is just saying, no, I know you're going through difficulty. And I know this is challenging. And I'm not, whatever reason, I'm not revealing to you why and how. But I love you. And I'm by your side. And that's what Hashem was telling Klal Yisrael. Right before he says, you're not going to enter Yisrael. You're going to stay in the desert. And there's going to be Bechiel Adiris. Right before that, he says, V'ulam Chayani. V'imalei Kvod Hashem is called. I love you. There's going to be Gula. There's going to be Yeshua. Keep your head up high. Keep your head up high. And this is what we saw in last week's parasha as well. Shared this. I don't know how many listened to the 5-minute var last week, but we have to chazer it because it's such a beautiful idea. In last week's parasha, there's a pasuk in Parak Ches, pasuk Yutas, and in that pasuk, in one pasuk, it says Bnei Yisrael. Hashem speaking to us and says Bnei Yisrael 5 times. Bnei Yisrael, Bnei Yisrael, Bnei Yisrael, Bnei Yisrael, Bnei Yisrael, 5 times. Doesn't use any pronouns. Bnei Yisrael. And Rashi there says Chamisha Pamim never Bnei Yisrael b'mikrazeh. 5 times Hashem says Bnei Yisrael. Lohodia chibason. To make known to us His love for us. Shenichfulu as Kurosehen, it goes and continuously repeats, mentioning our name, B'mikra Echad, in one pasuk, Kaminyan Chamisha Chamisha Torah, like the Chamisha Chamisha Torah. When you hear your name said by someone that you love, it's a term of endearment. It makes us feel really loved. And you hear that name again and again, you feel how loved by that individual. The Rabbanu Shalom was saying, B'nai Yisrael, B'nai Yisrael, B'nai Yisrael, B'nai Yisrael, to show I love you. And Hashem loves each and every one of us. Like a child. After all, he's our father. Becomes a Ilga Berditchever. And the Berditchever wants to know why specifically in this pasuk? Why here? We have an entire Torah of parashios of Pesukim, and right here, why here, why now? Is where Hashem chose one pasuk in Torah, Bnei Yisrael 5 times. Why this pasuk? So Rav Levi Yitzchak and Raditch says the most beautiful idea, the Hilga Kedusha Levi is Chosu Yogin Aleinu. He says, if you read that pasuk, what's going on in that pasuk? It's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling the Leviim their special role and separating the Leviim to serve in the Ol Moed, to serve in the Mishkan, to eventually serve in the Beit HaMikdash. You know what can happen when he does that? When he separates the Leviim? It can make the Yisraelim, most of Klal Yisrael, feel inferior and feel less loved. And so it's exactly then that Hashem wants every single Jew to know, I love you. I love you and I'm here by your side. I love you so much. Yes, you have different roles. And the Levim have their role. But I love you just like a parent loves a child. You know how much love there is for each child? And one child might be more successful in school than another child. One child might be a valedictorian, one child might struggle tremendously. And one child might be an incredible athlete, and one child might not be. And yes, of course you're proud of the achievements of each and every one of your children. But guess what? There's absolutely no difference in the love. The love is unconditional. You love every child equally. Because that's the love a child has. That's the love a parent has for a child. And the Rabbanu Shalom says, B'nai Yisrael, I love each and every one of you. And even when I need to punish you, even when there's going to be Bein HaMitzarim and Tisha B'Av, I love you. And know that always, and feel that. V'ulam, chayoni, I'm alive, I'm here. You know what's amazing? We once spoke about this here. It's really one of the first recognitions that we think about every morning when we wake up. Moda, you ever think about this? What you say, it's very rare that we speak like this about the Rav Shalom. But we wake up every morning and we say Modani. And what do we do? Modani l'fanelcha melech chai v'kayam. We thank Hashem, and obviously there's so much to speak about that. The first words out of our mouth is Akar Satov. Modani l'fanelcha melech chai. It's not often we call melech chai, but the first thing we want to recognize when we wake up in the morning is the Ibishter's alive. Not some God that created the world and myself years ago and he's out of the picture. He's alive. He's here. And he loves each and every one of us. He loves us. He loves us so much. And we have to feel that. We have to know that. And that's how we have to enter into the summer. That's how we have to enter into challenging times in our life. With that feeling, that's what Hashem wants us to know before I tell you what's going to be. V'ulai chayani, v'ulam chayani, v'imali kvod Hashem is kol ha'aretz. That's what the Radomsk is teaching us. That's what the Berditchever was teaching us. Two Shabbos ago, I was talking to Rabbi Penner. I'm sure knows Rabbi Penner from YU. Happens to live around the corner from me. We were talking. There was a Torah that he shared, and I was commenting on. And then he shared a mashal from Rav Pinkus. Once he shared a mashal from Rav Pinkus, I shared back with him a mashal from Rav Pinkus. I'll tell you the mashal I shared with him. Pinkus has this mashal in the Sefer on Yom Narayim when he's talking about why is it that all Yom Kippur we say Vidoy time and time and time again, right? Right? I know it's not Yom Kippur time, but you'll see where we're going with this. It's never a bad time to be Yom Kippur, at least to grow and to improve. But all Yom Kippur, we're clapping Al Chay, right? Time and time again. Every Shemoneh Esrei, every Chazar Sadat, 10 times. Al Chay Chachatan al Vanach, Al Chay Chachatan al Vanach. We're confessing everything we've done wrong. Like one time's not good enough? Okay, maybe I need a second, I didn't have enough Kavanah. 10 times? Why? So Pinkus has a beautiful mashal. Pinkus says that, imagine you're standing by the door. I don't know if he said it exactly like this. This is the way I'm going to say it over now. I haven't looked at it in a while. But imagine you're standing by the door and somebody walks into the door and your back is towards them and they trip over your feet and they fall to the floor. So you feel bad, obviously, right? And you help them up and you say you're sorry. And then you realize, you know who you tripped? You tripped Echvestesh, a big rabbi. So you feel even worse. It wasn't just like some person, it was a rabbi. But then you realize it wasn't just a rabbi. It was the rav of that shul that you're in. So you feel even worse. So each time you feel worse, you realize your initial apology wasn't good enough. You got to apologize again. And then you realize he's not just the rav of that shul. He's like the rav of the whole community. He's a tzaddik yisod olam. And every time you realize who he is, and you realize what he's about, you have to give another apology. Because your initial apology wasn't intense enough, wasn't emotional enough, wasn't good enough for someone of his standard. So too all Yom Kippur long, Yom Kippur, you're davening and you're getting closer and closer to Hashem. So last night I did Al Chet at Ma'ariv. In the morning you're so much closer to Hashem, you realize I didn't apologize good enough yet. I didn't put in enough emotion to it. I have to do it again because now I realize even more so who Hashem is. And time again. Very beautiful mashal from Pinkus. So Penner turned to me after I shared this with him and he said, "So what about Ne'ilah? What about Ne'ilah?" Meaning Ne'ilah, there's no Al-Chitz. Aren't you right? Ne'ilah is the pinnacle. Ne'ilah is when you're closest. So if for Pinkus is telling us, all Yom Kippur, I'm growing, Al-Chit, by Ma'ariv, and by Shachris, and by Musaf, and by Mincha, and Ne'ilah. What happened? Suddenly you don't need it anymore? Suddenly you're not getting any closer? How's it work with Ne'ilah? So I looked at him and I said, "You know why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has two aspects in our life. He's Malkeinu, he's our king. And there's our king who's taking count of everything we do and brings din and brings judgment and din v'cheshven and gives us schar for all our mitzvos and oinshin for all the averos, and hopefully we'll accept the tshuva that we do." But as we all know, and we all have to remember every moment, he's also Avinu. He's also our Father. He's our Tat in Hemel. He's our Father in Heaven. What do we say at the very end of Ne'ilah? The very end of Ne'ilah, we say, again, for the final time, we end Yom Kippur with Avinu Malkeinu. With that beautiful tefillah. That yes, we say Malkeinu, but before we get to Malkeinu, we say Avinu. Avinu Malkeinu. And we end with Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Who? Hashem? Who Elokim? It's all one. The Elokim, that's judgment, is Hashem, is Rachem, is mercy. Meaning at the very end, and I said maybe, because at the very end of Yom Kippur, we get so close that we only realize he's Avinu, he's our Father. And if he's our Father, he loves us all so unconditionally that no longer do I even need to do the Al-Chet. I just give him a big hug and it's all going to be good. Because he loves us that much. He knows what we feel. He knows how bad we feel. He knows who we want to be. He knows that. So when it comes to Ne'ilah, I'm finished with all the Malkeinus. I'm finished with all the Vidoy. I just give Hashem a big hug. You're Avinu. I'm your child. I'm coming back home. And that's what Hashem wants us to feel always. He wants us to know, V'ulaim chai ani, V'ulam chai ani, V'imali kvod Hashem is kol aret. I love you. I love you. I'm here by your side. The Maral tells us this. The Sefer Yikarim tells us this. I'm going to read you just a little bit from the Sefer Yikarim. Rav Yosef Elbo, Zchuso Yagen Aleinu, when he talks about what it is that Hashem loves us. Because there's a lot of different types of love. And a lot of types of loves are dependent. They're relationships that are dependent on something. Situational. On someone giving to another. Circumstance. But the Sefer Karim here says, Ulahora sha'avas Hashem is baruch al Yisrael, yoser mikol umah v'lashon. That love that Hashem has for each and every one of us more than any other nation. Eino ka'avas hadamas. It's not like love that comes from being similar to each other. Velo ka'ava tivius. It's not some sort of just natural love that one might feel for another individual. Aval ava bechiris. But he's chosen to have this love. Mashachas el ratzon ha'oev bilvad b'li shum tam. And that love is so strong and it's there independent of any reason. Which means, therefore, it can't be lost. It's not based on how we are serving Hashem and how we're acting. It's b'li shum tam. Yikaneh ha'kosev, the pasuk teaches us that avas Hashem yisbarach l'Yisrael b'shem cheshek. He calls it a cheshek, a deep desire. That's a desire and a connection without any reason. That's so deep. And he says, all of Sefer Shir Shirim talks about this. I'm going to skip a little bit. He says, what is it? V'chem nimtza gam kain ki yafla kachach b'avz yamiz baruch es Yisrael ka'av l'bein. It's that relationship, like a father to a child. As there's no greater rachamim for a father to a child. And that's the rachamim. That's the mercy that Hashem has for each and every one of us. We'll just end. And therefore, if we understood for a moment how much Hashem loves each and every one of us, how could we not love Hashem in the same way? And that's the purpose of all Torah. Every pasuk that we learn, every Mishnah that we study, it's all to build and see the love that Hashem has from us. That we should pull all the love of Hashem into our lives. And we should know that and we should feel that. And then, of course, show Him that love back. If only we can know and only we can feel how much Hashem loves us every single moment. And yes, it's true that there are challenges. There are nisyonos, there are trials and tribulations in our lives. And we don't have the full picture and don't always understand. But v'ulam chai ani v'imalei kvod Hashem es kol ha'aretz. Hashem was telling us before He's giving the gezerah, I love you, I love you, I love you. And that's how we enter the summer. With that feeling, with that knowledge, with that connection, and with that I could get through anything, whatever Hashem brings my way. Because I know not only does He love me, but if He loves me and He's the Ribono Shel Olam, who's Baal HaKol, then I also know, as the Tzvayer Shlomo says, that Nisbaru Miyad Kol Al Gula VaYeshua Shel Asbe Remenu Ki Kvar. I'll read this again. Ki Kvar Kol HaGulos VaYeshuas. All the gulas, whatever we're challenged with, vayeshuas and salvations, muchanim va'omdim lehisgalos b'mehera, they're all prepared and ready to be revealed very, very quickly. They're there because Hashem loves us and He wants to do it for us. We have to know that. Just end with a story. A story I once shared before. It's everything we're talking about. There was an individual who owned a jewelry store in Eretz Yisrael. One day, a 9-year-old girl walked in. Said, I'm here to buy a bracelet. The owner of the store says, you want to buy a bracelet? Says, who do you want to buy it for? Says, I want to buy it for my sister. And she points to a bracelet. $3,000-$4,000 bracelet. Says, I like that bracelet. Says, wow, you have very good taste. It's a beautiful bracelet. Why do you want to buy this for your sister? Well, she's my older sister. And I don't have a father. And I don't have a mother. And she takes care of me. I feel that I owe it to her. I want to get her something special. And that's such a beautiful bracelet. Maybe I could buy this bracelet. I have money. I want to buy it. I saved money for it. He says, oh, you have money for it? Then of course you could buy it. Let me see. Do you have enough money for it? Let me see how much you have. She has these her little like Hello Kitty purse, you know? And there are coins. Not just shkolim, half shkolim coming out, you know? And the owner of the jewelry store counts up. There are 7 shkolim. About 80 agorot. I don't even know what that is anymore. They use that anymore? I don't know. You know, that's what we get back and we like throw away. We don't even keep it. It's like less than $2. And the owner looks at this little 9-year-old girl and says, wow, that's exactly how much the bracelet costs. This is amazing. He wraps up the bracelet very beautifully and he gives her a card. Says, write a card to your sister while I wrap up the bracelet. And gives this 9-year-old girl this $3,000-$4,000 bracelet. A few hours later, the The older sister comes running into the store and says to the owner, "I'm so sorry, I apologize. I don't know what happened exactly. She should never have taken it without paying, but we can't afford this. I want to give it back to you." And the owner says, "What do you mean? She paid for it. She paid for it so she could give it to you." He says, "What do you mean she paid for it? I know my sister doesn't even have more than $5 to her name. There's no way she paid for it." He says, "That's where you're wrong. She paid me in full. She paid 7 shekel and 80 agorot and a broken heart." He says, "I want to tell you something. I'm an almon. I lost my wife a number of years ago. People come into my store every single day. They come in and buy expensive pieces of jewelry. But all these people can afford it. When your sister walked in for the first time in so very long since my wife had died, I once again felt what love means. He gave her the bracelet and wished her well. We come to the Rabbonu Shalom and we want to buy something very expensive. We want life. We want health. We want shiduchim. We want parnasa. But let's be real. Do we really have the zchusim? Do we have the money? So we come to the Rabbonu Shalom with empty pockets. Some davening here, some davening there. A little learning, some shiurim. The Rabbonu Shalom says, "You don't know how long it's been since I felt loved. I feel what love means when you come to me. You've touched my heart. Here's all the geula and all the yeshua. It's been paid in full." It's a love that the Rabbonu Shalom has for us. And that's the love that we have for the Rabbonu Shalom. Problem is, sometimes we get carried away. Sometimes each and every one of us is pulled in direction from society, from family, from challenges. And we forget that. Don't forget it. Don't forget that love. Because that love is stronger than anything else. That love will get us through whatever comes our way. That connection with the Rabbonu Shalom, that knowledge that Hashem loves us unconditionally. There's nothing we could do to break that love. And all that He wants is that love back. He wants to feel that love back. And every time we daven, He feels that love. Even if that tefillah doesn't have the kavanah that we had when we're standing at the kaisel for the final time before we had to get on the plane and we're crying our eyes out not to leave. He also loves the tefillah tomorrow morning. And even if I only had kavanah in like one or two brachas, He knows that comes from love. He knows it might only be 7 shkolim and 80 agorot, but it comes from love. It comes from love when it's very hot outside and I have friends who are, you know, going somewhere and dressing in a way and I'm not. It's love. It's love. It comes from love. It comes from love when I sit on Shabbos and it's a long Shabbos day and I pull out a sefer and I learn for a few minutes. Maybe I didn't learn all week long and I used to learn a lot more. It's love. Hashem loves us. Let's not forget that every single moment. We could feel that love. No matter what we're going through, He still loves us. We show Him that love back. And not only will it be a love that has to be sometimes searched for, and not only a love that Hashem has to reveal to us as He's going to give us that patch of the Chet Maragla and the Bechia Ledoros, but it will be the actual love of Beyom Ahuyah Hashem Achad Shema Achad. The love of the chuppah, the love that's so revealed, the love of Mashiach Tekenu, foolish lema, and here we may know. Everyone should have a beautiful Shabbos Kodesh. And those that we don't get to see each other, a beautiful summer, simcha, bracha. And stay in touch. Everyone should know. And I mean it from the bottom of my heart. Even if we're not going to have shiur as often over the summer here, or whatever it is, I'm here for each and every one of you. If anyone ever needs, reach out. Don't feel like you're a bother, whatever it might be. And everyone should only have bracha and simcha always.